protect the children.
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
Oh yeah, wow, what happened there? That was Wade. Now we sound great.
Yeah, it's because of the...
Oh, the fucking fridge too?
The fridge was running.
Oh my gosh.
Gotta go catch it.
That's fucking lame. Okay, can we start there? That was kind of... Like, why not do a dad joke to pop off?
Oh yeah, with this 1999 classic?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's just... Fuck it.
I know, I'm with it. It's early, we're good. You have Chick-fil-A in your body?
Yeah, and too much coffee and too much stress, but that's fine.
See, I'm like carefree, but also a lot of coffee. But natural,
fuck
my natural
you.
State is coffee.
Yeah, that's true.
I think coffee is just my blood type at this point.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just go ahead and dive right in, shall we?
Let's do it.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always... Anthony Fuentes.
I have way more energy today. Way more than Webster today. So
my NPR voice is in full.
Yeah, no, this is good. You're
going again,
to provide a soliloquy for everybody.
No,
it's going to be a great time.
No, thank you. Today, we are covering something... Okay, let's see. How do I want to break the news? So we are going to do a D&D episode.
Yes, we've been alluding to it for fucking
yes,
ever.
Yes, I've been alluding to it. I've been wanting to do a D&D episode for a very, very long time. We were supposed to do it last year for my birthday, but it just didn't work out. And then we were supposed to do it for Halloween this year, but then someone got COVID.
Yeah, James.
Yeah, Anthony. So it just didn't work out again. So it's there. I have it all. It's all written. It's all ready to go. We just gotta fucking do it and teach some people how to play.
We'll get there.
Which is, you know, it's an endeavor in and of itself. But to make up for that, we are covering another one of the classics that I think that surprisingly is one of our more popular episodes.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about this one. So
you know. I think one of my first birthday mandates, mm-hmm. I picked Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island, which is one of my all-time favorites.
It's a fantastic movie. We learned a lot about Scooby-Doo.
Not so much this time because we did all of it already.
Yeah, that and I'm thankful. Like, I was super caffeinated in that episode. So I'm good right now. I'm happy.
Yeah, so this is going to be a little bit more chill. We're just going to have some fun. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost.
Oh, shit. A childhood staple also for a lot of people.
Yes,
definitely.
Absolutely. And... I will go ahead and take us through the IMDb synopsis.
Oh, what do they have to say, Alex? What do they have to say?
Scooby-Doo and the Mystery Gang visit Oak Haven, Massachusetts to seek strange goings-on involving a famous horror novelist and his ancestor who is rumored to be a witch. Notice how the two is in parentheses because I had to add it because it wasn't originally there.
His ancestor who was rumored to be witch.
No, just rumored be a witch.
Be a witch.
It was just rumored be a witch.
I feel like is rumored bitch was the original set. They're like, no, we can't
ancestor
get away with that.
Ancestor who is a rumored bitch.
Yeah. Technically, that is part of the plot of the movie.
It
also.
Is.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's,
kind of a bitch.
It's not
kind of a
inaccurate.
Bitch. Yeah.
This was directed by Jim Stenstrom.
Okay.
And was written by Rick Kopp, David A. Goodman, Davis Dwaw and Glenn Leopold, which might sound familiar because they did the last one.
Oh, see, and also a note for everybody and to the producers at Universal who made Halloween Ends. This is how you make a movie with four writers.
Yeah, do you want to give everyone or say anything else about?
Oh, yeah. Thanks to all the new fans, the new listeners that dropped. We did that review so impromptu because me and Phil got tickets to the world premiere of Halloween Ends. And that ticket was originally for Miss Webster over here, but she went to go see My Chemical Romance.
Way better.
Yeah.
Way better. At one point,
way better
when you texted me and said it was dog shit, I looked over at Adrian and I'm like, I am so glad I picked My Chemical Romance over seeing Halloween Ends.
Definitely. It was so bad.
If I had,
It was so,
Be fair, I had these tickets way longer, but.
That's true. Yeah. Honestly though.
I am living in fear of COVID for the next couple of days though, because I'm like, ugh.
Oh yeah, we're going, this is going to drop and we're in New Orleans.
Yes.
So we'll be in New Orleans when this drops. But also again, I just want to thank the huge surge in listeners that were, thank you for enjoying our reviews. And yeah, this is how the show is. We're going to be adding a lot more things too. So
we have some amazing updates coming in 2023.
Yes.
And also because so many of you loved the format we tried for Halloween Ends, we're going to try experimenting with that a little bit as well.
Exactly. So. And I have a bar right next to my place. It's going to be lovely.
I have a bar right next to my place too.
Dude, that one's good too. Oh my God. California, baby. Anyways.
So moving right along, obviously, Scooby-Doo is based on the Hanna-Barbera cartoon by Joe Ruby and Ken Spears.
Mm.
And, of course, where would we be without our cast? This is starring Scott Ennis?
Ennis.
Mary Kay Bergman, Frank Welker, BJ Ward, and, of course...
Right.
Tim Curry's
up in this bitch.
Yes. This was distributed by Warner Brothers Home Video and was released direct to video on October 5th, 1999.
I was dreaming when I watched this. Oh, so let's learn a little bit about the movie.
Yes.
Now, much like here on the podcast, when Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island came out, it was hit and people loved it. Seriously, it's a good episode. Check it out.
But also in real life.
But yes.
People loved it.
It really is. Yeah, it's a great movie. But because of how quickly it shot into beloved Scooby-Doo classic territory, Warner Brothers knew they had the possibility to strike gold twice. So they enlisted the same exact motherfucking team to make, of course, another movie featuring Mystery Inc. Again, it's really similar. but what does every horror franchise have an issue with? Whether it's Halloween or Scooby-Doo? That's right, gang. It's studio interference.
Dun, dun, dun.
Or in the case, again, of Halloween Ends, giving them too much goddamn freedom. Anyways, its predecessor was considered a one-off experiment. And as such, the crew producing it worked with little oversight from executives.
This is what happens when you give creatives, like, creative freedom. They create Scooby-Doo on Zombie fucking Island.
Yeah, I know. Which is like, how do we fuck up Scooby-Doo but make him awesome?
How do we make Scooby-Doo legitimately terrifying?
Mm-hmm. Good job.
It's terror time again.
Oh, man. The music in these ones is just...
A banger after banger, banger.
I agree with that. Yes. For this new endeavor, however, this creative freedom was scaled back considerably. Fuck.
Boo.
That sucks. Boo. Okay, so Sir Warner Brothers suggested screenwriters Rick Kopp and David A. Goodman, which insulted the team that had produced the first film in total autonomy. So in addition... The studio requested the filmmakers tone down their content as they feared Zombie Island had proved too scary for its intended audience, despite it being a fucking hit.
I mean, here's the thing. It's like, I was a child. Like, I was so young when I saw Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island, and did it scare the fuck out of me? Yes, but did it, like, instill this love of horror that to this day I'm like, ah, give me more. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, I would say it's child appropriate horror. Like, I don't think it's too scary, but also I don't know what waspy people wrote letters in 1997
when they realized they could get on a news story. And
yeah,
they're like, yeah, if we just bitch about it, they're gonna like maybe interview us. Like, again, it's the early days of like media attention for outrage bullshit.
Boo.
Yeah, fun times. When in the 80s, they had shit like this for kids all the time. Like, all the time. Yeah. Getting triggered. All right, let's go back. Kopp and Goodman's script concluded with the revelation that the townspeople were using the witch as a publicity stunt. The original team found this unsatisfactory, and Glenn Leopold rewrote the last third of the film, introducing the concept that the ghost is real. When I saw how they ended it, I'm like, I looked at the runtime, I'm like, oh, thank god there's 10 more minutes.
Yeah, there's like, well, we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt, because of that, because, like, you can tell, I mean, I read this before I saw them, before I rewatched it, but the last, like, 15 minutes feels very disjointed from the rest of the movie.
I agree with that. It definitely does, but also it's what I wanted.
It's what you wanted. Yeah. But that's the thing, though, is that that's what you were waiting for the whole time. Yeah. Like, let me try to find an apt metaphor. It's like in the beginning of Pirates of the Caribbean, when you go up, 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 and then you have this first little dip, and then you're like, that's it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of build up, very little payoff.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And you don't get the full drop later. Like, it's, you know, so that the only benefit is that you get the hex scrolls. Which, I have a whole section dedicated to the hex scrolls, don't worry.
Let's do it. We're definitely going to get there. So, where am I at? Oh, yeah. Billy West actually did not reprise his role as Shaggy Rogers, from Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island in 1998. Reason being, West needed time for his roles as Philip J. Fry, Professor Farnsworth, and Dr. John Zoidberg on Futurama. Great show. So again, Jim Spencer was thinking of replacing West with the five different voice actors before the role went to Scott Enos, making his first debut as the voice of Shaggy. So what were you going to say there? Sorry.
When I saw the Futurama tidbit, I was like, I'm going to give that to Anthony.
Yeah, honestly, it was one of the most foundational shows for me growing up. So I'm really happy Billy West is on there. Yeah. It's very important to me, actually. That and Simpsons.
I was going to say, Futurama and The Simpsons were, like, for you, right?
I think it developed the style of humor, for sure, was both of those shows.
I can see that.
Yeah. With a lot more F-bombs now. Anyways, so Ben Ravenscroft seems to be based on horror author Stephen King. Just replaced Massachusetts with Maine. And also had a somewhat similar appearance when he was younger, of course.
And because of studio interference, he didn't have a crippling coke addiction.
Oh my God. Jesus, man. Kids gotta know. Shit.
Yeah, right? This is a DARE advertisement, too. Duh. Don't do drugs or you will become a psychopathic warlock.
He did kind of act sometimes like he had a coke addiction. I don't know what it is. Just a little fidgety.
Yeah.
Anyways, the character's name is also suggestive of H.P. Lovecraft, one of King's influences, who lived in Rhode Island. Ravenscroft may in turn have inspired a character in Scooby-Doo, Mystery Incorporated in 2010, called H.P. Hatecraft.
I don't see the resemblance to H.P. Lovecraft. What do you mean? What do you mean?
I love how on the nose that is. That is fantastic.
It's like, for Stephen King, if they had named him, like, named his character, like, I don't know.
Stephen Governor? Stephen.
Right. Stephen Lord.
Stephen Lord. Oh, I love that. Stephen Lord's a great name. Oh, that's got to be used at some point. I'm sure.
So there obviously isn't much about this movie, like, critic-wise, but I found surprisingly a lot. So let's dive right in. Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost was released on VHS on October 5th, 1999, and then on DVD on March 6th, 2001.
DVD?
Yeah. Coming soon to DVD.
Oh my gosh.
The film earned a 50% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Boo.
Yikes. David Parkinson of Radio Times gave the film 2 out of 5 stars, saying, quote, "This full-length cartoon featuring the ghost-hunting teenage detectives is something of a mixed bag," unquote.
Okay. Radio Times did not provide the most eloquent critic for this one.
But I mean, also, like, Radio Times, it just, I don't know.
Yeah, you're going to find out in next week's episode, too. We had a really hard time finding, like, solid reviews for some of these later October movies.
Oh, for next
movies.
Week's episode?
Yeah.
God damn it, Anthony.
Which is the opposite of this movie, for sure.
God damn it. Joe Neumeyer? Neumeyer? Neumeyer?
Neumeyer.
Neumeyer from Entertainment Weekly said, quote, "Though slyly written, it doesn't have the punch of last year's Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island, but it's still scarier than the Blair Witch Project." Fuck you, Neumeyer.
half of that review's true. It doesn't have last year's punch, but it is not scarier than the Blair Witch Project.
Oh, man. If anyone listening has a Shudder account, I cannot recommend 101 Scariest Movie Moments on Shudder enough.
Oh, I gotta watch it.
Yeah.
I gotta watch that.
Make sure, yeah, because Anthony and I share a Shudder account. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you would love it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Definitely going to check it. You know, obviously we have love horror, so I will have to check it out when I get time.
It's just fun. It's just, you know, those like older countdowns that they used to do on like VH1.
Oh, fuck yeah. I love the 90s.
Or like I love the 90s. Yeah. Or I love the 80s, which was my personal favorite. Mm-hmm.
Have we gonna, that Hal Sparks' entire career was in that fucking series right there.
It's like that.
Okay.
Or, you know, yeah, it has that vibe.
Okay. I dig it. I love that. That's nostalgic to me. Yeah. So I will take it.
It does have that nostalgic vibe. I very much, very much enjoy it.
All right.
The film also, as it is wont to do, because Supernatural, was criticized by religious groups, quote unquote, upon its release, who claimed the Hex Girls were of the devil, luring young girls into Wicca witchcraft.
So the fuck, what?
Also,
they dress hotter when they're older.
Oh my god. Right in. I'm trying to reserve my thoughts until the end because I do want just it to be known that I love this movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I'm very nostalgic about this movie. However, mm-hmm. I have some criticisms.
Yeah, no. It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah. So, surprising no one, this is a little bit of a hit on Letterboxd, as the kids say, and has a 3.6 out of 5 stars out of nearly 16,000 reviews.
It's pretty good.
It was like 15.9. Like,
damn, that's pretty,
yeah,
very good.
Yes. So, kicking it off with Rhea with 4 stars. Oh, God, we were all so young and gay. Unquote.
Oh, that's funny.
Anika with 5 stars. The Hex Girls and Tim Curry? Be still my beating heart. Unquote. Taylor with 4 stars and co-signed by me. This movie very accurately predicted my future, that I would grow up to become a bisexual who's into goth girls and sinister-looking middle-aged men.
Oh my god.
Unquote.
Taylor Webster? Is that like... Jesus.
Jake with 3 stars, quote, lots of wild voice work in this one. Accents picked up and dropped with reckless abandon.
Okay, yeah, that's true. That's very
true. The mayor in particular, I'm like.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Where, what, huh?
Why are you coming all like, you know, fucking New England-y, and then now you're like, that guy's from LA.
Well, in the beginning, it was just like, hey guys, like, it was just like, what is going on here? Andrew Fry with a fun starless review. Wouldst thou like to churn? Wouldst thou is greater than. Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
I mean, again, New England. So
yeah, absolutely. You
get your pick of the litter.
It was pretty fucking funny because I did have that thought as well. I was just like, is Black Phillip gonna show up at some point? Like, are we gonna?
Oh my god, that crossover would be fantastic. Oh, I would
Scooby-Doo
love that.
Scooby Doo versus Black Phillip.
Jesus. Velma being like all like with the witches at the end, like elevated upwards with the fire. Yeah. And Scooby's like, roar.
on our Instagram, we were talking about Goosebumps covers we'd like to see. Yes. I want to see that as a Goosebumps cover.
Oh my god, yeah, that crossover would be fantastic. More tales to give you goosebumps for sure. Anyway, so now we know why you're all here, of course. And we know it has to do with the aforementioned Hex Girls. So here's a Hex Girls deep dive, baby. Let's fucking go. Hex Girls were only ever intended to be mysterious goth red herrings in this movie alone. But once the movie went into distribution, a whole generation of goths and goth lovers were shaped by this rebellious girl group. And yeah, very, very much so.
Absolutely. This was an eye-opening moment for pretty much every person I know.
yeah, definitely. From independent UK, we actually would get messages about this on our first release of the Scooby-Doo episode.
Oh, about when we're going to cover Hex Girls?
Yeah, or they'd be saying, like, oh, the Hex Girls like to find my fucking child. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But of course, from independent UK article, the Hex Girls were born amid a wave of Wiccan representation in mainstream television. Thank you, The Craft. Most notably, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Charmed, which were much more general audience friendly. They were somewhat radical for entertainment strictly aimed at children. And of course, quote, I am dumbfounded. Oh, quote, I am dumbfounded at the staying power of the girls. Hex Girl creator Rick Kopp tells The Independent. We called certain characters breakouts, and if they speak to a certain part of the culture, they're gonna be a breakout. I think it's self-evident that's really happened here. They were dangerous and fun, and for a Scooby-Doo movie, they were edgy.
Were they ever?
They were very edgy for a Scooby-Doo. Yeah, definitely. The Hex Girls were immediately embraced by fans of Scooby-Doo and have gone on to be considered cult classic characters. Yeah.
There's like, and I mean, I can speak to this because like definitely lived experience, and also I kind of took like one Letterboxd review from this, but there were so many Letterboxd reviews where like everyone was like, oh no, this is when I knew I was like not straight.
Yeah.
This was like.
Again, or straight boys are like, I like women that are pale and black haired and wear a lot of black.
Or like,
I
want that dark creepy. Fucking lipstick. Yeah, yeah. Like,
and she needs to be a little mean. Like a little mean.
Just a little mean.
Yeah, but like also, you know, still like, good at the end.
But it's just like mean on the surface.
Yeah.
and so there was in this article that I took these quotes from, that was a lot of it too, where it was just like, so many queer women were just like, oh no, oh wow. And I want to kind of like acknowledge that as well.
They're just like, Earth, wind, mom, put her on a ladder.
Where the Hex Girls?
They're dancing.
Like, it was like dark Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like it was like Powerpuff Girls, but like if they were goth and you had one mm-hmm. that you like imprinted on.
Yeah. Oh my God, the Powerpuff Girls. Who was the mean one? I can't remember which one it was also.
Buttercup?
Was it Buttercup? No, Buttercup.
Blossom is the redhead, Bubbles is the blonde, and then Buttercup is the green.
Oh, green. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was my favorite.
Really?
She was my favorite because of that. I think it was like, no, I need, again, more edge. More edge.
That's funny.
Anyway, so many people in the media at the time felt, quote, they reflected the girl power movement and would be witch derivatives of the Spice Girls, end quote.
I like this quote that I took from where it's like, girl power? Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, why isn't that in air quotes?
It's the 90s. They're like, girl power, but also like, what are they making? Girl power. Are they actually making movies? Is this surface level shit?
Yeah.
Like, they want rights?
Oh, they want rights? They, I guess.
Yeah. Anyways, the appearance of the Hex Girls briefly spurred interest from Warner Brothers Animation to talk with the film's writers Rick Kopp and David A. Goodman in developing a spin-off TV series. Now, despite not succeeding, since then, it's still something Cartoon Network have expressed some interest towards Kopp with. So,
and with that, also, let's give a big RIP to Cartoon Network Studios.
Oh, my God. Yeah, did you see their tweet? They're like, we're not dead, we're just turning 30. You're like, no, that's Warner Brothers saying, hey, no, we're still going to keep the name a little bit. Like, that's it.
Yeah, Warner Brothers, like, just absorbed Cartoon Network Studios.
Yeah.
So Cartoon Network Studios is in perpetuity dead.
Yeah, it got gutted.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, again, like, any good slasher, you can gut the shit out of, like, any character. Like, and you might think they survive, but they got stabbed in the gut. Mm-hmm. Cartoon Network got slashed. Sorry, guys.
It sucks.
Mm-hmm. Ruined a lot of fucking childhoods. Anyways.
Hey, you will have to pry Courage the Cowardly Dog from my cold, dead hands.
Oh, Warner Brothers in this regime will do it.
I don't give a fuck.
They will do it.
I'll have the Cartoon Network Studios Waco for all I care.
Like, is it going to save us $7? Yeah, let's fucking do it. We need the tax money.
I love Courage so much.
It's a great show.
Actually, you know what? If you guys want to hear a Courage episode, I will do it for my birthday mandate this year. I would love to talk about Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Honestly, all of our animated shows do really well.
It's because it's nostalgic.
It is. What do you call it? Our most popular episode now is blah, 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 blah. The one we did last year. I forgot the name. Fuck. Our Halloween one last year. Elijah Wood.
Oh, Over the Garden Wall.
Over the Garden Wall.
Yeah, that is the comfiest show ever.
Yeah, and you guys have watched that more than any other episode. So thank you.
Thanks,
great,
guys.
Great show.
I think that just goes to show I have impeccable taste in animated Halloween media.
I think so too. So you're rocking Courage out there. I am down. Anyways, so unfortunately this never happened, but the Hex Girls still show up from time to time in Scooby-Doo productions, even through 2020's Scoop.
Yeah, they were like a poster in like a background, like that's a little homage to the Hex Girls.
They're part of Scooby-Doo iconography, and this thing's totally. Been around since like the 60s, so it's like that's some power right there.
Absolutely.
Also, children in the 90s, we just bought a lot of shit, so you know. Merchandising, baby, let's fucking go.
They just came out with Hex Girls like Funko Pops.
That's I didn't know that. Why'd you tell me that?
I mean, do you buy Funko Pops?
I might now.
Well, here's the thing. It's like Funko Pops are on their way out. So they're just like, we gotta like grasp at straws here.
Who are the old still buying this shit? You got me.
Yeah. My brother like loves Funko Pops, which I think is very silly, but that's fine.
They are a little bit of a relic for sure.
That's fine. Hi, Noah. Sure. He listens now. All right. So do you want to talk about the plot of this
we can
spectacle?
We can totally talk about the plot. I'm with it. Let's go. Kick it off.
Oh, man. Okay. So, after a fantastic Scooby-Doo, although it wasn't Scooby, it wasn't the, what song was it? It was like some original song.
Yeah, it was the OG, wasn't it? No, it wasn't the OG.
But it was just, it wasn't like a, because like in Zombie Island, it was like a cover of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But, it wasn't Terror Time. Anyway, whatever. Neither here nor there. Point is, museum, very fun. The whole time I was thinking, because we're also on like the backburn of like people throwing soup at Van Gogh's. So I'm like very upset about the destruction of museum property at the current juncture.
Oh yeah.
So this whole like sequence where like the museum is just getting destroyed, I'm like, deeply upset.
What fucking environmental messages they send right now?
Right. I don't even want to talk about it. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
I didn't see your face right now. Holy shit.
It's fine. I have a lot of thoughts, but I will keep them to myself. Wrong podcast. Mm-hmm. So, after all that, the team comes across Ben Ravencroft, a famous horror writer of whom Velma Dinkley is a huge fan. He assists her and Mystery Inc. in solving a case at a museum, and he invites them to his hometown, Oak Haven, Massachusetts, which just sounds whimsical as shit.
It does, and also Velma just, when she thirsts, it's always bad people. She's got terrible taste.
Yeah. She has poor taste in men, that's why she's a lesbian.
I think so. That's a good apt right there. That's very, very apt, yes. So when they arrive, they find the town converted to a tourist attraction by Mayor Corey, with 17th century replicas based on the ghost of Sarah Ravencroft, an ancestor of Ben's, who was persecuted as a witch and executed by the Puritan townspeople in 1657.
And Ben takes this personally.
Good old executions. These are why the 90s Scooby-Doos are great.
Well,
it's all dark shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's always
it's all incredibly inaccurate.
Yeah,
but it's dark.
It's fun and fucked up. I like it.
Ben disputes this, claiming that Sarah wasn't a witch; she was a Wiccan.
Okay.
who used herbal remedies to heal the less fortunate, and he has spent years searching for her medical journal to prove her innocence.
Herbal remedies. Pass the duchy on the left.
Right?
She's like, what? Just, everybody's having a good time.
just smoke this, you'll feel better.
Oh, he's hallucinating. Well, he's picked a fucking too strong a strain. He shouldn't have fucking handled it. Not a witch. Witch.
She's just making salves and shit. It's all weed based.
Oh, this is great.
She was, she made the first dispensary ever.
Like, no, Punisher. Punisher.
Ye old dispensary.
So Scooby-Doo and Shaggy Rogers are chased by the ghost of a witch. The gang is drawn to an all-female goth rock band, the Hex Girls, led by Sally Thorne McKnight, during one of their rehearsals.
Where we get the iconic I'm a Hex Girl performance.
Oh my gosh. And I love how Fred's like immediately just...
And Daphne's just like, ah!
Just fucking elbows his ass. Yeah. Like, you fucking sat your tongue's out, buddy.
I know, he might as well have just been drooling. Jeez. Anyway, Fred Jones and Daphne Blake follow Thorne and discover her performing a ritual and are convinced the Hex Girls are witches.
Oh my lord. The ghost witch is captured by Velma and revealed to be Mr. McKnight, Thorne's father and Oak Haven's pharmacist. And the townspeople, of course, were involved.
Velma's a fucking G, okay?
I mean, she's got this... she's like, I put the fucking mystery in Mystery Inc., okay?
She's just like, and you were involved, and you were involved, and then she's like, and they were involved, and all of a sudden half the town comes out of the fucking woods, and you're just like, what the fuck?
They're like, holy... who the fuck is this bitch? And you got a little dick, and you are cheating on your wife.
Right. Like, Jeez. Mm-hmm. She's a G. Yeah,
Velma's
a freaking G. Anyway, so Thorne explains the ritual Fred and Daphne witnessed was an herbal remedy made for soothing her vocal cords, and that she's actually 1/16th Wiccan.
Oh my god, 1/16th? Genetically Wiccan.
Okay, this bugged the fuck out of me.
I love that. I knew that would get you.
Oh my god. Like, that was another one of the Letterboxd reviews. It was just like a quote where it said 1/16th Wiccan.
Well, this always reminds me of the South Park episode, the South Park is gay, when they're like, Cartman's trying to prove, like, oh, I'm gay. Like, you know, I could be gay. And he's like, no, you're not gay. He's like, well, I'm bi. My grandpa's bi. That makes me a quarter bi.
Like, oh, wow. That's how that works.
I love the child understanding. It's perfect.
Yes, absolutely. Because that's the thing. It's like, obviously, they were not going for historical accuracy. And this is 1999. Like, they couldn't exactly been, like...
They're not explaining Wiccan.
They couldn't have tossed Wicca into a fucking Google and, like, been a... And you know what I mean? Like, I get it, but I don't. I'm still mad about it. Corey and Mr. McKnight apologize to Ben for using his ancestor in their publicity stunt, explaining that they created the ghost, the ghost witch to boost the town's failing tourist economy. Capitalism wins again.
Oh, of course.
And that they found inspiration from digging up the literal grave marker from Sarah's grave, even though her body was not found.
Oh, this is the part, because it is revealed that a shoe buckle Scooby had found earlier was actually the lock from Sarah's journal. Another opportunity for Daphne to be like, hold on, there's more mystery. There's more mystery. But returning to where the lock had been found, Scooby digs and finds a box containing the buried journal, which is actually... a spell book.
Dun, dun, dun. Ben reveals that Sarah was, in fact, a witch. Who wielded her witchcraft against the townspeople before the Wiccans used their nature-based powers to imprison her within her own spell book. His ancestry, therefore, makes him a warlock.
The Wiccans used weed. I'm not. They smoked her out, and they're like, "Put her in the box. Put her in the box.
Put her in the box."
Anyways, he engineered the mystery at the museum just so he could meet with Mystery Inc., knowing they would be able to help him find the book. The town's fake ghost wasn't part of his plan, though he was able to use it to his advantage. They got fucking played.
And this is the part where it felt disjointed to me.
Yeah.
Is because the ghost, like the original ghost plot, had nothing to do with the secondary ghost plot.
Mm-mm.
I was just like, that makes, like, one, what are the chances? Two, it makes no sense.
Yeah. Well, it's like we got like a classic Scooby-Doo episode, and then they're like, hold on a second, there's still some Zombie Island shit that we gotta take care of.
Yeah. It sounds like that fucking Warner Brothers was just like, you can have a little Scooby-Doo Zombie Island as a treat. Yeah. Here you go. Yeah,
no more than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Why don't we scare the shit out of children? Oh, God. How about we make them horny? Oh, yeah. They didn't say anything about that. They didn't say anything about that.
Yeah, right? Okay, so awakening his warlock powers,
okay,
Ben releases Sarah, but discovers that she has no loyalty to him, and her ambitions are to destroy the world to avenge her imprisonment, rather than rule it alongside him.
Stupid, stupid Ben.
Stupid fucking Ben. Also, like... he did not think this through.
No, he definitely didn't. He just wanted to beat the gang, you know? Yeah. So, disillusioned, Ben attempts to imprison Sarah, but she tells him that only a Wiccan can defeat her, and traps him in a magical sphere. The gang launches an attempt to get the book while Sarah turns pumpkins and trees into monsters and enlarges a turkey in order to stop them.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, this is off the rails. But Daphne and Velma free the Hex Girls, and the latter convinces Thorne to use her inherited 1/16th Wiccan power to re-imprison Sarah.
Stupid. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I know I say I like this movie, but just like thinking about it, it just is silly. It's silly.
I honestly love all this shit. This is great.
I mean, it's fun, silly, but I'm just going to call it silly. Like, it's silly.
It is very dumb.
Okay. The plan works. Sucking her back into the book and returning the monster she created, except for the turkey, back to normal. refusing to return to her imprisonment alone, Sarah drags Ben into the book with her in a surprisingly dark moment in a Scooby-Doo movie.
Yeah, and
this kind of like horrified me a little bit.
That's great. It's fantastic.
I
just envisioned them like in prison. He's like, so you don't want to fucking rule beside me, right?
Well,
we could have had that whole situation taken care of. You would have just pretended. She's could've like, faked fuck it. You! Anyways, a burning branch then falls onto the book and incinerates it, ensuring convenient. That the Ravencrofts can never return. Probably burning them alive, really. The gang and town folk celebrate their deliverance with a concert from the Hex Girls with the gang and the still giant turkey joining in on the performance.
We do not remember seeing that in Thanksgiving.
No. Oh my god, that turkey? Turkey?
Yeah.
Turkey would fucking be great in this movie.
That'd be terrifying.
Show me your animated tits!
Yeah, exactly. That is rated R, Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah. It's only a matter of time, Alex.
Oh, no, that exists. I'm sure, so that, sure no, that there, exists.
There's definitely some Rule 34 shit yeah, going exactly. on with Hex Girls.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Don't look it. Don't let us know. Don't DM us.
Do not tell me. I'm so sure. Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I've already seen it because I follow Monsters Holding Bitches on Instagram.
Oh, my. I had to stop because that shit was popping. I have to use my my Instagram account sometimes on my desktop. Oh, yeah. So I'm like, no, that is a giant ass. There's a giant animated ass right there. I can't do it.
Oh, my God. That's really funny.
Sorry, clients. But you're doing great engagement-wise.
You just have to mute their posts so they don't show up on your feed.
Like, I'm not going to look out of my way. I don't look for anything on Instagram.
Okay, I get it. Okay, point taken. Anyway, discussion time. Thoughts on Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost?
Oh, fun movie.
It's fun. It's just fun.
It's a fun, fun movie. It's. I mean, again, not as good as Scooby-Doo and Zombie Island, but there really mm-hmm. is. The Hex Girls are scene stealers in mm-hmm. every frame they're in. I love that Fred and Daphne have that kind of will they, won't they energy throughout the movie.
This is like, yeah, same thing in Zombie Island where, yeah, they yeah. just kind of always have that will they, won't they thing.
But like, this is an especially thirsty Daphne, it feels like. She is especially like, just, I'm about to blow you if you just give me a little bit of, like, a just, little bit
just,
of something.
Just give me something here.
Yeah, and Fred's like, I don't know. He's awkward. He's weirdly awkward. Like, maybe he's, like, into something darker. Like, he's...
That's funny. No, he's, like, surprisingly... He talks very little in this.
Yeah, he's a little coy.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like all the other characters get more, like, screen time.
Mm-hmm. They definitely do.
Then, you know what I mean?
There's more Scooby. This is definitely Velma's show, actually, I think.
I was going to say, it's very Velma and Scooby and Shaggy heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
As opposed to, because I keep thinking, like, scenes. I mean, maybe I just think Fred is, like, isn't very memorable, which, like, I've always thought that. I don't think Fred's very memorable.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always liked Fred. I think
he's just, like, I don't know.
He's still a leader.
He's like Steve Rogers to me. Like, I don't really, like, he's
like, hey, guys, go over there.
Yeah.
You go over there.
Let's split up, gang, you know?
I do love that scene, though, when Daphne's like, so, Fred, we always split up together. Why is that?
Why do you think that is?
As she's slowly, like, again, about to kneel.
Right.
And then Fred...
She's like putting her hair up.
Yeah, right? He's like, well, ponytail, huh? And Fred's just like, oh, you see, actually, I mean to talk to you about that. And then Hex bitches come in.
And then Thorn!
Mm-hmm. But then also, I feel like Fred, that's when Fred would take it too far. He's like, I've liked your hair. Can I have a piece of your hair? Just a little bit of hair, Daphne. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
So a little weird, like, and your feet.
No. You heard it here first. Fred's a feet man.
He's like, if you just walk around a little bit.
Gross. Gross.
No, honestly, though, like, this movie looks good. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually pretty well animated. It's still cheap, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cheap with a style, which is something I really appreciate, actually. All the character designs, it's not a mystery. really. Like, I'm, to me, I kind of checked out. I'm like, I don't care who, like, is at fault here. Like, whatever. Just give me some Scooby shit. Let them be, like, a fish-out-of-water scenario in Massachusetts. Yeah. Give me some good visuals. And then bring it all together at the end with some whole shit. They're saving the world again? Like, I love it. I think it's a great... It's a fun time. It's just a fun little 1 hour of your lifetime.
This is a perfect, like, moody Halloween watch.
Mm-hmm. Halloween watch for sure. It has, like, the Halloween vibes.
And that's the thing. It's like, it has Halloween... I mean, it takes place, like, during, like, an autumn festival. So, like, yeah. That kind of lends itself to that. Mm-hmm. But even Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island, I could watch literally whenever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have, like, that, like, well, I mean, it's more like a fall movie. Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island, I could, like, we watched it in June, and I was just, like, the vibes!
Oh, my God. Great June movie. Yeah. But, yeah, you're right. Any time, really. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just a good time.
Because also it takes place in New Orleans, which is where we're going to be when this episode comes out. But it takes place in New Orleans.
Fighting zombies.
Yeah, hopefully not. But... Because it takes place in, like, a place that is traditionally kind of warm, a little swampy. Like, mm-hmm. you can watch it whenever. Mm-hmm. And because it has spooky content, like, you can literally, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that helps versus this, where I think it's just, like, a quintessential fucking, like...
It's a very fall movie.
I really liked it. I did find myself checking out a couple times, which is rough, considering that it is, like, literally exactly 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm. I think the soggy middle.
Yeah, bit of a soggy middle. Again, that transition from, like, traditional Scooby-Doo episode to, oh shit, true supernatural is a little but...
Yeah, because, I mean, in Zombie Island, they alluded to it much earlier. Like, yes. Much earlier in the movie.
In Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island, there's a difference, like, the gang assumed that it was fake, but the whole time it was real.
Yeah, well, it was when Fred was like, these zombies aren't fucking being zombies, or they're not, masks aren't coming off, and then suddenly shit hits the fan.
Exactly, and then terror time again starts playing, and then everyone's like, oh, shit. But that's the difference. It's like, it's the same narrative mm-hmm. the whole way through, versus this, where it feels kind of disjointed for me, because it's two different narratives.
Yes, yes.
That's my thoughts on that anyway. But
makes sense.
Let's talk about the Hex Girls. Goth women, am I right?
Oh my god.
Which one's your favorite?
Fucking main one. Black haired one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
No, I like my pale black haired woman.
Hey.
with red streaks? Are you kidding me? Oh my god.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. No, the Hex Girls, they really do feel like a valid addition to Scooby-Doo and a modern update. To, like, something modern that Scooby-Doo can latch onto that I think is good. And honestly, goth girls don't go away.
Mm-mm.
Goth girls are immortal.
That's goth girls are forever.
They are forever. Whenever goth girls were invented, that was it. From there on, they're just going to be a part of the zeitgeist for sure. And I, for one, endorse this.
I'm glad.
Yes.
As a lazy goth,
mm-hmm.
I thank you.
I've dated many goths. Again, give me my... Light-haired, dark-haired women, or dark-haired women with tattoos. I'll do it.
We are a special breed. Mm. Goth women, love them.
What else do you say?
So I like this is interesting because as a kid, I was very, very blonde as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I fixated on the blonde one.
Oh, okay. She's cool too.
Well, that was like I was like blonde goth. You can be blonde and you can be off. That's
just
a thing.
Just put on the eyeliner.
It's like literally just like black lipstick and like just like call it no. Mm-hmm. But and then it was cool to rewatch it and I was like, she's still my favorite.
Aw.
I was like, aw, I look nothing like you now, but aw.
Still attached.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Also, she had those sick 90s, like, the two ball, like, hair band things. Like, oh man, I fucking loved those as a kid. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's true. That was the classic 90s look. I can see why a lot of kids, like, latched on a little bit. And like, hey, because they do look contemporary for the 90s.
Totally.
And again, goth girls don't go out of style, so that stays.
Also, that's the thing, though, is, like, their look, you could wear that today, and people would eat that shit up.
Oh my god, I think in next week's movie, they are dressed like the Hex Girls.
What?
The victims?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that, but okay.
That gothy look?
One of them, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I have, which, listen, next week's episode, I have so many jokes. because I watched this with a friend, so we were like, I got to work on my commentary ahead of time.
Good.
But
much more graphic than this movie.
Oh fuck, yeah. So we kind of talked about this earlier, but obviously we can touch on it a little bit more. How does this compare to Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island for you? Do you enjoy this more? Do you enjoy Zombie Island more? Like,
I like Zombie Island more. I think it's just better. I do have more of a nostalgic attachment to that one. But I also think it's just a better made one. You can tell that they had more creative freedom in there. Because you're right, there's some disjointed aspects to this one that it doesn't affect me as much, but I clearly see, like, if they had the chance to allude to this stuff earlier, it would make this up there with Zombie Island.
Yeah, and I think this is, like, a victim of studio interference, unfortunately.
Definitely.
Yeah. I had a thought. I lost it. Oh, so I don't know. I'm sure you're like with it with Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, totally.
So this is part of like what I kind of refer to as like a trilogy.
It's this one and the
cyber
internet one.
Yeah, the like cyber attack or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it's called. Scooby-Doo.
I was talking with this...
Cyber Chase.
Yeah, Cyber Chase. I was talking to Adrian and Ruben about this. And yeah, Cyber Chase is actually, I believe, Adrian's one.
Really?
Yeah.
I only saw Cyber Chase once.
Well, this one was Ruben's, like, childhood one. And mine was Zombie Island.
Oh, you guys so complete the trio.
We did. We all three were like, oh, fuck, yeah. That's where our emphasis was.
That is funny. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this came out, like, Cyber Chase came out like 2 years later, so that's interesting. Yeah, I only rewatched it once, maybe twice in passing.
Yeah, so. No, that one was, I was already a teenager by that point, so it was out, unfortunately. Yeah, Hex Girls, this one was barely. The last.
Barely made it in there. So, I definitely like, out of the three, Zombie Island will forever.
Yeah, it's number one.
Yeah, will forever be my number one. It just feels the most horror to me.
It's the most horror that Scooby-Doo's ever felt, I feel like, for sure. Like, even the movies.
Yeah, well, then that even the live-action movies.
Yeah, exactly.
The live-action movies are more of a comedy to me, so I agree. So I'll forever, like, Zombie Island tier list, or for the Scooby-Doo tier list, Zombie Island's forever, like, S tier.
Oh, has to be. And anything with Scrappy-Doo, just thumbs down.
Yeah. Okay, is the studio interference more prominent to you after watching it, now that you know about it?
Yeah, very clearly, now that I know about it. I didn't know it at all, but it does seem like they tried to play it safer for most of the movie.
Yeah.
But then they went real dark.
There were some things, like I said, like, you can kind of feel like a battle of wills going on, like, where it's like some stuff where it's like, it feels like Zombie Island, and then there's some stuff where it's just like, you can kind of tell there's some studio interference.
They're like, we need more Shaggy and Scooby being fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like, we need too much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, we'll just go back to, you know, Velma and fucking, like, you know, like, I don't know. It was weird. Again, it's not the most consistent movie, but the talent was luckily still there and did what they can with it.
Funny, this is, I think, Tim Curry's favorite, like, one of his favorite roles he's ever done.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's... I mean, you know, it's Tim fucking Curry.
Well, apparently he just had, like, a total blast doing this.
Dude. He was such a figure of that decade, the 90s. He really was. From Pennywise to Home Alone 2, like, to this. What a guy.
Yeah. So, he loved this. So, there was a couple interviews that I found where he was, like, when he's summoning Sarah, and he summons Scooby instead, like, and then Scooby comes up, he thought it was very apt, and like, it was like this whole thing, and like, I don't know, he really enjoyed it. So,
oh, that's great.
So I that was a highlight for me for this movie, for sure.
No, Tim Curry's again fantastic. We need to do more Tim Curry shit. Like, there's so much. There's so much.
Well, one of the things that I've always wanted to cover that we just have not been able to is Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I knew it, because I was thinking that same fucking thing.
I think
we gotta go to a show. We got Frida.
Frida does it every month.
That's right.
So remember, that would be fun.
Remember, California people in SoCal, Frida Cinema does a lot of cool shit. Support your local indie theater.
Hell yes. I love the Frida. Okay. So we kind of also talked about this. Scooby-Doo covering real supernatural phenomena. Yay or nay?
Yay, but don't always do it. Okay. Feed it to us every once in a while. Yeah. Like, make us think about it. Because I think that was kind of cool, actually. Despite it being clearly tacked on, I was like, oh, fuck yes. It wasn't just the townspeople. Now there's more shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Maybe a better execution. Or,
sure.
Like, yeah, do it the Zombie Island way. But I think as long as it's not like all the time, I'm with it. I'm very much with it.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think, very similarly, I think it needs to be rare and it needs to be done well.
Yeah.
So pretty much exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. Cyber Chase, I think, if I remember correctly, is like all fake. Like it's all like
interesting.
Someone doing like spooky stuff. Like, you know, like, yeah. It's like, who's under that mask?
The haunted AOL trial fucking CD or what?
Yeah. Pretty much. Well, yeah. It's 2001, so yeah. It's like literally like big old like box computers.
And... Oh, compact, baby. Yeah. Oh. E-machines.
Floppy disks.
Floppy disks.
So I think it's really fun when they do it, but I feel like it has a huge risk of being overdone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And it would make me really, because like, I mean, they do it also in the live action Scooby-Doo, where it's like, there's real life supernatural events occurring here,
mm-hmm.
but also, you know, live action Scooby-Doo movies are a little ridiculous because you have a talking dog. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I also like that in this one, they really laid on thick that Scooby-Doo does not know he's a dog.
That's one of the funniest parts of this movie. Like, honestly, it's fantastic.
He's just like, where? Rare.
Yeah, a bone. Like, fuck that shit.
Yeah. Like, what? Huh? Because, like, I know they kind of, well, no, because even on Zombie Island where he's like, I hate cats or whatever. Mm-hmm.
He still has some dog behavior, but in this one he's like, no, I want to sit the fuck down. You give me all the food.
Yeah.
Have a great time. I'll wear the goddamn bib.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, alrighty. Moving on. Mystery Inc., Anthony Fuentes, is investigating your residence. Mm-hmm. What supernatural pest plagues it?
Oh, fuck.
Real or not?
I don't even... Okay, so I live in an artist residence.
Right.
So there's a lot of artists in there. And artists do a lot of drugs. So I want to say that there's, like, some real crime going down.
Uh-huh.
That it's like, oh, it's like the missing painting and da-da-da-da-da. And, like, the painting came to life and, oh, my God. Actually, it was just a money laundering scheme for drugs.
Nice.
Yeah, so they get real into, like, Scooby's first time seeing, like, a brick of cocaine. You know, like make it really, really hard.
Scooby tries cocaine.
Scooby, like, yeah, accidentally tries cocaine.
Whoops.
He's like, rural. He's like, wow, his legs are moving really fast. Like, it's gonna be a great
time. Love, yeah, also in this movie where they're, where Velma's like, you two are the fastest. And I'm just like, how are they the fastest?
They run away from everything.
I guess. Yeah. I suppose. And one of them's a dog, so uh-huh. I do suppose.
He's got four legs, not two.
Yeah, he can doubly fast.
Yeah, not a great endurance, though.
So, no.
Yeah. Like, that's Shaggy.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
For me, I think it would be like continual hauntings.
Oh, okay.
Like a super like poltergeist type shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fake, but the truth is, it's really it's my landlady's. It's my landlady's trying to keep the apartment prices. like
capitalism again, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. That's the real horror here is capitalism.
I mean, it is definitely in this movie. In addition to the actual, you know, witch. But I like that idea.
I think it would be like supernatural type shenanigans just to keep. Like, they can charge more for, like, haunted units
right?
or something.
See? Okay, so
because I know so many spooky bitches who would pay extra for a place that, like, they could, like, prove was haunted.
Yeah, they're like, oh, what, somebody hung themselves?
Which,
hang themselves in here?
Personally,
yeah.
No.
Somebody hang themselves here? Oh, yeah, holy shit, I want to live there later on. They're like, autoerotic asphyxiation. Oh, fuck.
Damn it.
Got the pervert ghost.
No, it's just a super horny ghost.
Oh, my God. great. Yeah, I like it. I like yours.
You just
is
hear
like
a mysterious sound while you're trying to sleep. It's really unsettling.
Oh, like that breathing.
Yeah. Yeah, breathing, sure.
So mine is war on drugs and money laundering, and yours is the housing crisis.
And
so
capitalism.
Yeah. This is perfect.
We're really optimistic people.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's how our supernatural fun questions turn into.
God damn it. I was trying to keep it fun.
It's fun. That's very fun. I agree with the masturbating ghost.
Damn it. Any final thoughts before, because we can't do a kill the film because
no,
it's a Scooby-Doo movie.
I mean, really. Again, it's part of the pantheon of good Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a definitely, like you said, an October, Halloween, or fall movie. Watch it in the fall. Watch it with your family or turn it with friends and just like enjoy the mystery.
I had such a nice little cozy evening last night. I made a flatbread. Mm-hmm. I watched this. I drank a White Claw. It was great.
That sounds lovely.
It was
Fuck.
It was cozy. I was burning this candle. It was great.
Ran out of chips, so I was eating croutons.
Oh my God. You are a 19-year-old.
They were
trapped,
all I had
no,
left.
No, you are a 19-year-old trapped in a 35-year-old's body.
They were so good. I was a little stoned.
What the fuck? Oh my God.
I was having a good time.
I don't doubt that, but I stand by what I said.
Oh my God, yeah. No, I had chips. They were stale because I haven't been trying to not eat them as much.
So you decided croutons
they weren't stale.
Was an appropriate...
They weren't stale.
This is like when you're like a kid and it's the middle of the night and you just eat like a fistful of shredded cheese from the fridge.
Okay. I have done that as a kid and an adult also. So, yeah, you know what? Some things just don't change, Alex. It's fine. You know, if you run out of chips, it's okay to look for a suitable substitute.
Croutons?
And croutons were...
You know, that's
I have a whole bag of croutons. I have a little bit of croutons.
I don't have any croutons, so I can't really speak to this.
I eat salads. That's what the croutons are for.
Okay, whatever. I have a Costco-sized bag of kettle chips in my... Like, and I
that
keep...
That sounds amazing.
They're pretty banger, I will not lie. But I keep like, I'm like, oh yeah, I should eat those. And then I'm just like not in a snacky mood, which is like always happens. Like I get like, cause I went to Costco with my mom.
Yeah.
And
you get a bunch of giant shit.
I got a bunch of snacks because I always am in the mood to snack when I'm watching stuff. And now I'm just like, but now I don't want to. Damn it.
See, now I am always in a snacky mood. So that's why I run through snacks so quickly.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
I'm just like constantly grazing. I have a huge fucking tub of peanut butter pretzels.
Oh my God, do you? I need a grocery shop. No, we're going on vacation.
Yeah, that was my thing. Is I was gonna go grocery shopping earlier, like this weekend, and I was like, "There's no point."
Yeah,
I'm
on vacation.
We're gone next week.
We're gone all next week. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, let's bring it back.
Yeah.
And rate this movie out of 5 suddenly changing accents.
Oh my God, 3.5 suddenly changing accents. 3.25. That's a 3.25. Yeah.
For the Hex Girls, I'll give it 3.5.
Fuck. 3.5. No, for the Hex Girls, 3.75. This is going up a little higher.
Anthony has to rate more than me.
This one in particular, I think a whole half point deserved because of the, you know, the longevity.
Well, I was
going to
rate it 3, so 3.5 is apt for me.
Mm-hmm. See, there you go. Yeah, and I was going to go a little higher, so I went a little higher. But yeah. Yeah, I would say, again, it's not better than Zombie Island, but it is... fun. It is a good time.
I think we gave Zombie Island 5.
we really pushed that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, because it's a great goddamn movie. This one's very good.
One's very good. It's super fun. Like, it's not up there for, it's not like Zombie Island level good, but it's still fun.
It's such great elements because
it gave us Hex Girls, like, I think, like, this, it has a special place in a lot of people's
Absolutely.
Hearts.
And again, great Tim Curry.
Great Tim Curry. But I do agree. I think the Hex Girls kind of like overshadow the movie in like the way where it's like people are way like I remember the Hex Girls way more than I remember the plot of this fucking movie.
Yeah, way more than, you know, Daphne almost blowing Fred in
totally.
This forest. Way more.
Like again, headband.
How did I miss that?
Out there. Yeah. Hair. Back. Like she was on her way down. No.
Fucking Fred.
God damn it.
Yeah, no, that's...
On that note, that is Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us this week. Like we've been sprinkling throughout the episode, this week we are, your humble hosts are away on vacation, a much, much needed getaway. We will be in Nolens.
No, that we will, right? When this episode is releasing, yes. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll be posting about our travels and shenanigans on our socials, which I will be posting momentarily. Mm-hmm. I do want to give a quick little shout out to the review that Anthony and Phil did. For Halloween.
Thank you. Yeah.
I also want to say I love like you trying to close an episode.
Oh yeah. I was like, well, it was raining.
It was starting to rain, so you're like, and you can follow us here. Okay, bye.
Yeah, I'm like, no. I'm not. I spent a lot on this MacBook. It's not waterproof.
It was drizzling.
Oh, it was getting there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, next week.
Oh my God. Okay, next week's Halloween. This is a Halloween movie, technically. And it's one that's a major cult classic, but also.
And Anthony picked it. I just want to make that clear.
It's far more graphic than I thought it would be. Because I was like, okay, cool. People keep asking about this one. So let's give them what they want. Y'all are freaks. but, you know, I get it. So I'm very interested in our deep dive next week. Next week's going to be a very different episode. It's a Halloween special. It's going to be kind of unconventional.
Next week is our Halloween special, and it is unfortunately the movie that you'll have to wait and see.
Oh, yeah, but there's a little more to the episode that you're going to see in the outline. A little more.
There's a twist.
It's definitely.
I'm excited. I hope you guys are as well. Please join us next week for that. In the meantime, please, we know we've gotten some new listeners. Thank you so much for joining us. Please, if you can, take a couple moments to make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening. It does help other people find the podcast just like the same way you did. And if you have, if you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, why not give us a 5-star review?
Yeah. Don't take that long.
It just takes 2 seconds. It's right there on Spotify. Mm-hmm. And we have a 4.9 and a 5.0 on Spotify and iTunes respectively. So
yeah. Those bitches had us at a 4.7 on Spotify, and you guys liked it so much you brought it back up.
To a 4.9. Yep. So thank you so much for your love and support. You guys freaking rock. And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR BLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. Mm-hmm. There's a plane coming, so we gotta finish this quick.
Yes.
In the meantime, give your number to a hot woman today, a goth woman today.
Yes, I think that's a very, very good idea.
And give them $20 while you're at it.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, there you go. Bye, guys.
See ya.